Good morning, Barbados. Welcome to Brass Tack Sunday for February 18th. I'm Sanka Price, and I'll be your moderator today. Our producer and technical guru is Mr. Ian Cupid Gill, and he's the first voice you'll hear when you call us at 43-41790. In the studio with us are members of the Barbados Association of Professional Engineers, and they'll be sharing their ideas for workable solutions to fix the badly deteriorating road network across the island. And you know what I said, workable solutions. I also hope to get their perspective on addressing the persistent problem of a lack of maintenance of public property, government buildings we're really talking about here. And of course, we must talk about the problem plague, South Coast Sewage Plant. But before I introduce my learned guests, I need to remind you that Brass Tack Sunday is brought to you with the kind compliments of the good people at Williams Industries Incorporated.
For building supplies, big or small, at Williams Metals we have it all. Angles, flats, cement and doors, lumber, windows and much, much more.
Get all your lumber needs from us. We have number one treated pine, all different types of plywood, V-joint, siding board and concrete board. In addition, we have grade 3 2x4s and form ply for boxing.
Big or small, at Williams Metals we have it all, at Williams Metals we have.
Visit their website at www.williamsmetals.bb.
And welcome back. In the studio with me, I have Lieutenant Colonel Trevor Brown. He's an electrical engineer. He has a master's, of course, in management. And, of course, we know Mr. Andrew Hutchinson. He's a civil, structural, municipal, and environmental engineer. And we expect one more guest, and when he comes, I'll certainly introduce him to you. What we're talking about today is we're looking principally at the workable solutions to fix our badly deteriorating road network. And last month, the Barbados Association of Professional Engineers held a town hall meeting at Combermere School. And one of the things that came out of it was what they call, they had like what they call a jury, three engineers who sat and listened to all the presentations and everything, and they came up with what should be happening. And it is pretty interesting. And I'll just read a little bit here of what the jury said. One, they're looking at the need for coordination between decision makers related to the design of roads and the size and weights of vehicles allowed to enter the jurisdiction and operate on the public road network. A case was also made that there seems to be inadequate or no consultation between the government entity responsible for road design and construction and the government entity responsible for licensing vehicles for road use. Research and empirical evidence exists to support the contention that road damage is caused by repeated exposure to overweight vehicles. And I can go on and go on and go on. The fact about it is that what this report does is it's very clinical, and it's also available on the website of the Barbados Association of Professional Engineers. And I would encourage you to really go to that website, and I can ask Lieutenant Colonel Brown. You can tell us what is the website.
Okay, the website is bap-engineers.com. Mm-hmm. Most of our current information is listed on that site, and obviously the public is welcome to visit and update themselves. But can I start by saying good morning to everyone, and thank you, Sanka and VOB, for giving us the opportunity to make this to actually represent the work that we've been doing at the APE.
Yeah. Right. Now, and since you have the microphone, literally, let's start with you. And I want to go here with the report in terms of looking at the lack of consultation. Why is that? Why would this be a situation? We've been independent for going on 52 years. We've had, even before that, many years before, where our road network was in pretty good condition. We certainly have one of the best road networks anywhere in the world. But why is it that there's this lack of consultation? What do you think?
Well, I can answer that question, but then you'll be asking me to behave not like an engineer. We tend to start the other way around. We kind of assess the problem, and then I will tell you why at the end.
Okay.
And then we can actually start to work on solutions. But first of all, let me explain to those who may not be aware that the Barbados Association of Professional Engineers, or BAPE, as we call ourselves, is the national body that represents the profession of engineering in Barbados. If I could give to you briefly the four key objectives of the organization. It is a company registered in Barbados. Our primary objective is to represent the, to protect the interests of the public from poor engineering decisions and poor engineering work. The second one is to advance the status of the engineer and the profession of engineering by high ethical behaviors. The third one is to promote engineering and science, especially among our really bright young people, because engineering and science really determines the future success of any organization or country. And the fourth one is to advance and protect the interests of the professional engineer in Barbados. So that's what we actually do as an organization in Barbados. In terms of the town hall meeting, it has become increasingly clear to us at BAP that something is fundamentally wrong in Barbados. And you, essentially, you started by asking me to tell you the answer to that question. What I want to start by doing is to tell you our approach to answering that question and to coming up with a solution, which is what we would like to spend some time talking about. What we felt we needed to do was to bring knowledgeable experts together in an environment where, through peer review, we can listen to what the actual problems are, as experienced by people who actually understand the issues, what the possible options for solutions are, and by putting this all together, to come up with the best option for solving the problem for Barbados at this time. As you well know, most of these problems are extremely complicated. There are many different facets and many different interest groups. So there's hardly ever any one clear solution to a problem that you can articulate in Barbados at this stage. The world has simply become too complicated for that. Mm-hmm. So what we sought to do was to understand all of the issues from the experts, not from people who were guessing or who were second guessing. So for example, at our first town hall session, and we chose potholes as a common issue that affects all Barbadians that definitely needs to be addressed. We've got the best experts from the Ministry of Transport and Works. We got experts from CEO Williams Construction, people who actually do this, the person who probably knows most about this in Barbados. We had experts from Arawak Cement, because the whole question of material and cement is a major question mark in terms of solutions. We had that. We actually got a top road engineer from Trinidad, highly experienced, who's fully qualified with a master's and doing her PhD, to come and be part of the town hall to make sure that there was an international perspective. And in the meantime, as you mentioned before, we actually appointed a jury, again, of experts, mostly civil engineers and highly qualified, responsible professional engineers, who sat and listened from a peer review perspective to the presentation. And then their job was to present to us on the BAP committee their assessment of the problem as it exists, the assessment of the options for solution, and then out of all this, what we want to propose to Barbados is here is what we should do to solve this problem, which is where we are at. Mm-hmm. Now, if I were to attempt to answer your question, though, it's going to cause a little bit of confusion, so maybe we should have a little bit of more discussion before we get to that point.
I think, though, that we should really try to cause that confusion now. And let's go on to that, because I do have some of the recommendations that were made here. But
we have, after very careful consideration, we looked at it, and again, my whole set of engineers on my committee, peer people who actually understand the issues. And we have decided and come to the conclusion, as strongly proposed by one of the panelists actually at the town hall session, that the problem, the root cause of the problems we have is the structure that we have chosen to implement to manage our road network in Barbados. We have chosen a system that, if you think about it carefully, guarantees that you will have potholes. And we have chosen a system that guarantees that the solution that we tend, and I use solution quote unquote, of effectively filling potholes is the only way that we'll end up addressing it. Now, any serious modern engineer will tell you that filling potholes is a retrograde step. What you want is a road that don't have potholes in the first place. So if you have a system that is dependent on efficiently filling potholes, then you're doing something fundamentally wrong up front. And the job of an engineer tends to be largely preventative. We want to build roads where you don't have potholes that need to be filled, not to be able to fill potholes efficiently. Now, the most dramatic thing, certainly from my perspective, at the first town hall session was the presentation by the chief technical officer. Now, here is a professional, highly qualified, highly articulate, very efficient Barbadian individual who we, I can tell you at BAP, are particularly proud of as a professional. And it is clear that he is powerless to do the thing that he knows needs to be done to ensure that Barbados have high quality roads that meet international standards. So there's no it is not a question of him, of us lacking the knowledge to do it. Back in the 60s and 70s, when engineering was an issue and when BAP was created, we had an issue where there was a shortage of highly qualified engineers. But we live in a country now where we have people like Andrew Hutchinson and Tony Gibbs and Granville Phillips II and people whose qualifications are absolutely international standard and whose reputation are international. This is no longer an issue. We have highly qualified engineers who know what needs to be done. That is not an issue. The technical issues that come up, even the issues that you touched on raised by the jury, those are solvable. I mean, these are not things that are beyond us. So for example, you mentioned the question of lack of coordination. Mm-hmm. What could there? This is 2018. Almost everybody in Barbados walking around with a degree and a master's and some and a lot of doctorates. Don't tell me that coordination between departments can be an issue. So the issue has to be deeper than that. Do you agree?
Agree.
So we obviously dug deeper. And basically, and to sum it up for you, we have created a system of management of our national assets that guarantees failure. And when we talk about the sewage project, I'm going to say the same thing. And if you ask me about almost any national infrastructural system we have, I'm going to say the same thing. And this same thing is this position we have in Barbados, which is in our constitution, that says that all income, all national revenue must go to the consolidated fund. Then all competing interests must compete at that level, at a political level, to access funds to run a business, to run their particular business. The word that I, and this is not BAP, this is Trevor Brown, madness. Because you cannot be running a vital national asset that needs to be maintained on a regular basis, that there are international standards for how it must be maintained. There are international guidelines for what needs to be done and when it needs to be done and how it needs to be done and what kind of equipment needs to be used to do it. So all this is known, and we have resources and people in place who know these things and who can do it at any level, anywhere in this world. So there's no shortage of that. What there's a shortage of is the access by these professionals to the resources to do the things that they know needs to be done. That, I put it to you, is the fundamental problem.
All right.
And the solution, quite frankly, is that our road network should be seen as the national asset that it is. And I put it to you that I would challenge anyone to name a more important asset that Barbados owns than our road network. It is probably the most important thing. If we were to start from zero and we were to ask ourselves, what is the first thing you would want to put in place if you're going to build a modern Barbados? It would be a modern communication system in the form of a road network. Mm-hmm. So the most valuable thing that we own, we have no respect for it. We refuse to put the international standard basic steps that are needed to make it continue to be viable and efficient and effective.
Okay, I'll ask Mr. Andrew Hutchinson to come in here.
Morning, Sanka. Thanks for having us here. I just want to support Trevor by making a broad comment. The condition of the infrastructure in Barbados is vital if we are to maintain our service industries, tourism, international business, etc. Now, what I mean by infrastructure, roads, water, sewage, garbage, and telecoms. That package is a, we have to maintain that infrastructure. We cannot be considered as an international tourism destination unless we're going to keep these up to speed. It's vital. And as you know, Barbados is largely dependent on services. So all the more reason to have your infrastructure up to speed. In terms of the road network, it requires planned maintenance, no doubt about that, and a budget to execute that plan. I think what Trevor is talking about, we feel strongly that there should be a what we call a road infrastructure fund,
right,
so that there could be a, let's say, independent agency, statutory agency, if you wish, staffed by the right personnel that executes that plan, mm-hmm, and would have access to a proportion of the budget garnished from road taxes. Mm-hmm. Which now goes into the pot, and then it's dished out according to whatever, mm-hmm, who has the biggest dice rolling or whatever, how it works. So we need to get a proper budget to implement the plan, because you listen to several of the people in the executing agency, you will get the strong feeling that there are budget constraints. And that's a fact, we know that. But then when you look at the amount of road taxes and so collected, the question is, well, are we getting our fair shake of the road taxes to maintain the road infrastructure? That is a serious question that needs to be addressed. The other thing I would say is we're doing the same thing year in, year out, but expect different results. You understand what I'm saying? The system hasn't changed in... I've been practicing 46 years, and it's been around the same time, and it's the same system. It's not serving us well. We still have potholes. Your roads are breaking down. So why are we doing the same thing year in, year out without looking at, different methods of approach? And what I would just touch on briefly, I think we need to look more seriously at concrete roads in some areas. We need to try other asphalt concrete mixes. There are other techniques in the market, and I think we need to address head on the two items that I think causes the greatest degradation of our roads. One, poor drainage. In fact, in many cases in the rural areas, I would say the absence of drainage. Mm-hmm. I have lived to see our roadways in the rural areas made wider over the years to accommodate the increased traffic by simply filling in the old-time roadside drains we had. But it was not replaced with anything. They put a curb and a slipper, and then when it rains, the road becomes the drain.
Right.
And then, of course, your drivers are always in the firing line because we're splashing up pedestrians. But it's almost impossible when it rains to drive on a road that's flooded and not splash up somebody if you're walking. That is a pretty near impossible feat. And the other thing that destroys our roads, I said there are two, right? Drainage. Mm-hmm. And the other thing that's very damaging to our roads is utilities. Now, I want to be very specific here. My experience over 46 years is that most of the utility companies will hire engineers, write specifications, and repairs are done, and the regulatory authorities at MTW will hold their feet to the fire. You got to repair it. It's very sad to report here that is not the case with Water Authority. Water Authority, in my view, is the biggest culprit in causing destruction of our roads. And I invite any of you, as you drive along a road, as you walk on a road, observe. Tracks cross the road, the holes that dig up to patch pipes that weren't repaired, right?
Could it be a situation where, because Water Authority is government, is another arm of government?
Well, that is obviously part of the problem.
Yeah.
The regulatory mechanisms. Yeah. Your regulatory mechanisms are not working for all kinds of different reasons. And that, so I said there are two things that we need to address. The absence of drainage, and this is in particularly rural roads, and the inconsistent policy of road repairs after utilities are installed, particularly looking at the work done by the Barbados Water Authority.
Mm-hmm. Well, I have two quick questions. But first of all, let's deal with the point that you raised, looking at the concrete roads and asphalt and concrete mixes that are possible. How would this help? I mean, if we can identify some stretches of roads now in Barbados that you think can be used for that.
But it's intuitive. Technology has been changing drastically over the years. Mm-hmm. Take concrete, for example. Mm-hmm. And at the town hall, we had quite an extensive discussion on this. There's new technology with concrete now that solves many of the problems that we had in the past. One of the problems with concrete, for example, is the time it took for it to cure before you could actually use the road. They've now brought that down significantly. It tended to be hard wearing. They've actually changed that quite a lot by using all kind of mixes. And so the ongoing technology. So while I agree 100% with Andrew that these technical things need to be done. But the problem we have, the truth is, our technical people know this. Everything that Andrew said, the people at MTW know, and probably know a little bit more than him because they're always on seminars and they know the up to the minute technology.
Yeah.
So the question is not, the challenge is not
knowledge.
The challenge is why are we not doing it?
Implementation is really the problem here that you're talking about.
Thank you for
lack of implementation.
And this is what I want to drive to. So I mean, you'll notice that at the town hall meeting there were extensive technical suggestions that need to be implemented, including some of the ones that you raised, and including the problems that, and for example, the weight of vehicles on some of the roads, for example, was another consideration. The need to stipulate the number of axles on the vehicle. Things like this need to be done. But we all know this, so coming to a town hall meeting or coming here and saying that solves no problem because the MTW people know it better than we do. The question is, and the real problem is, why are we not doing it? And the answer is, as you touched on too, they are not provided the resources to do it. So they know what needs to be done, when it needs to be done, how it can be done, which roads could best be concrete. I mean, for example, just to give you an example, there was a period some time ago when, I think it was rural or one of those departments, as a matter of government policy, they were making a lot of these small rural roads out of concrete.
I remember.
Now, if you were to visit some of those, and BAP, we had a tour this weekend where we actually had a look at some of those roads. The concrete roads are in outstanding condition.
But we don't even have to go there because they don't really take the level of beating that say the roundabout at St. Patrick's.
Doesn't matter because right next there, there's a Barbara Green Road.
Right.
So they both took the same beating they were done at the same time. The Barbara Green Road has almost disappeared.
Precisely.
The concrete road is in pristine condition. So there's no question that there are benefits to using concrete in many conditions. There are drawbacks. Utility, installation, But the point is we know all this. So what BAP wants to focus on is what stops us from doing these things that we know need to be done, that will give us good roads, that don't even need to have potholes filled because they're built in such a way that they don't have potholes in the first place or very few potholes in the first place. And the summary thing that I want to toss at you and maybe at the public that we'll get, is that we are calling for the establishment of a national road maintenance fund to be legislated in Barbados. We're suggesting that 60% of all vehicle registration fees and license fees and things like that that are associated with the use of our highway be allocated to that fund, and that a national authority of professional persons, and I particularly want to say non-political persons, because I raised the question of the use of concrete roads some time ago. And just what would happen is, this was a very good initiative. Now, why did it change? Because it was a political change. We cannot afford to have such a valuable asset as our road network being subject to willy-nilly political changes. These things must be driven by technology and by technological, professional, engineer-driven decisions.
When you say political change, you're talking, I mean, just to be specific.
It doesn't matter what a particular person feels is important. So if I happen to be the person in charge and they think that concrete roads are important, I will do concrete roads. And then next week when Andrew is in charge and he thinks it should be Barbara Green, he will do Barbara Green. We cannot afford that. What we need is a consistent national policy upon which you can build, and whether Trevor Brown is in charge or Andrew Hutchinson is in charge or John Smith is in charge, that policy is adhered to until there is a better policy put together collectively that follows our national vision, and then we all follow that. It is the only way that you cannot have a willingness situation where today this is the focus and tomorrow there's another mm-hmm. focus.
Well, let me ask you this. Did the professional engineers have an input into the Barbados Sustainable Recovery Plan?
I'm not aware of
it. Well, if you tell me that, no, I'd be happy to be participate, but I'm not aware of it.
Well, the plan is over the last week in the estimates, repeatedly, yeah. Minister of Finance as well as the Prime Minister made the stress, and others of other ministers stressed that it was the plan for the recovery of Barbados. And I would think that such an asset, given the importance of what you're saying here now, would have been looked at. And you've had a chance to make an input into the plan. Have you been able to speak
to... I can see, Sanka, that you're one of those guys that like trouble.
I'm moderating the program and I have to cover all the angles.
Okay, fair enough. The truth is, and I'm being very serious now, over the years, what we have found, when BAP started, we had a shortage of engineers in Barbados, and our focus was on getting people into engineering and all that. That's no longer the case. We actually have engineers in Barbados that are not even... Then we have too many people to be doing the real engineering like the kind that Andrew is lucky to be able to do. So we have an overabundance of qualified people. What you may find is a situation where in many cases, people employ engineers to do engineering. And the engineers are employees of organizations or of committees and all that. The independent engineering, where will that come from? It can only come from a peer review type body like BAP. Mm-hmm. Because if you hire me as an engineer and they say to you, well, you're making a recovery plan and here are the national specifications, this is the minimum level, this is what you need to do, this is what we really work. It's going to cost you $10 million. You say, $10 million? What are my options? Can I get something for $1 million? I say, yeah, but that's not going to work. But can I get something for $1 million? Technically, yes. An engineer will give you whatever you want. We will design what you want, but we'll tell you what the constraints will be. If you choose the $1 million, you can always go and say that you had engineers on board. And you were advised by engineers and you took this decision because and the favorite word is, and Andrew like to use it quite a lot, least cost. As far as I'm concerned, least cost is life cycle least cost. Mm-hmm. Least cost cannot be least capital cost. My mother used to call that cheap thing no good, good mm-hmm. thing no cheap. Least cost is life cycle least cost. In other words, what's going to be least cost over the whole life of the project. So if you're just going to buy a car because it's the cheapest price you could get, you know that next year you probably need to buy a new one. But you may buy a more expensive car knowing that this one will last you for 15 or 20 years. Mm-hmm. Lease cost is the consideration over the 20 year period.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So,
Andrew, come here.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead, Andrew.
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm just going to, I said earlier about doing the same thing year in, year out, but expected different results. And Trevor was talking about using different technology. For instance, we have an abundance of car tire, car tires in Barbados, used tires
to be disposed of,
which could be disposed of, and there's a technology where you can actually make it, crush it into what you call rubber crumbs. And those rubber crumbs are mixed with concrete and asphalt. And I don't pretend to be an authority on the subject, but one of my colleagues says that it actually extends the useful life of the asphalt 4 or 5 times. Mm-hmm. So why haven't we done that? This is what I'm saying. We're doing the same thing over and over. It's time that we get into the field of research and development and try some options. And that's how we're going to learn to go forward with different options that are more efficient. So why are we not trying rubber crumb concrete or rubber crumb asphalt? As one example, right? One of my personal peeves is that we have not tried using pavers. We made these concrete pavers. They're also made out of clay bricks. And you can lay those bricks in a herringbone form.
Right, right.
I lived in Europe for a year, and I was amazed how all the roads in the town I was living in was paved in bricks. And they were there for 200 years, they don't go bad.
Yeah.
And when do you want to fix the pipes?
You just move them and fix it up on the
map. Get a mason trowel, you take them up, put it back down. Right?
Exactly.
So why let's research and development.
It's not rocket science.
Right, but let's try it.
Let's go to the phone lines. We have our board is completely lit up. Good morning. You're on Brassac Sunday. Stop listening to your radio, sir or madam. Stop listening to your radio. Just listen to the telephone. All right. Hello, you are on the air.
Hi, Mr. Price. How are you, sir?
I'm fine. Being very impatient here because you're on the air. Stop listening, please. Everybody, stop listening to your... Those who are on hold, stop listening to your radio. Just listen to your telephone.
Yes, sir.
Go right ahead with your question to the engineers.
And to your engineers. Good morning to the engineers.
Yeah, good morning, sir.
I often wonder why in Barbados, when we build a road, we would dig up the mud and then dig down the rock and then backfill the mold to build the road. So should we build the road as close to that rock as possible? I think we do that because we want to tell everybody we've built a road for $10 million or $20 million, because majority money can be in the backfilling the Marl and the Barber Green. So basically, we're just looking to create work to tell people we're building an expensive road. We should build the road as close as possible to the rock. I see in Florida, those people just put the mold, because I know Florida is a water place, just put the mold in the water and build a rope on it, and the road don't move. But here's everything. Now, I hear a gentleman there talking about how we tackled the drainage out the roads that we had before the old roads, and then put back nothing. All the things is true. We're building swimming pools, but that's all we're building swimming pools. We're building the wells on the sidewalks. Why before the old people would challenge the water to a point and build the wells, the water runs 20 wells. Go down and down there, St. James with Slud.
You mean Holton?
Right, my village.
Oh, okay.
Any of those engineers right now, they say, hold down there and build. Any of those engineers in the street ever right now, they say, hold that road building right there. Where those wells are put, that set up to be the catchment area of the water. Why would you set up a catchment area on the water, on the road, when they'll challenge you to build down below, through those houses, down below the houses, and catch the water down in there? There's a lot of foolishness going on in the place. Just to say everything costs enough money. That's all it is. I'll tell you what. Have a great day, Mr. Hyper.
Sir.
Well, thank you very much for thank you very much for your question.
Well, right, cool. Interesting questions. First of all, let me say that I don't know that I specifically want to compare road construction in Florida with Barbados. I mean, a lot depends on the kind of topography that you're actually working with. I know that our engineers here are budget constrained in what they do. We have to understand in Barbados that we have one of the most extensive road networks anywhere in this world. In fact, I'm hard pressed to think of another country anywhere where the whole country is interspersed with roads to the extent that happens in Barbados. It is really a national asset. And when you think in terms of what would be necessary to actually keep that level of road density in pristine condition, it must be really challenging for the experts at MTW. So that they will always, well, unless we really are prepared to allocate the needed resources to do it, there will always be situations where one or two areas may not benefit from the level of maintenance that they deserve. The other question is that there are international standards that actually guide the maintenance of roads and the building and maintenance of roads. And to the extent that these standards may not be followed, the question, for example, of drainage is something that has fascinated me for years. Our roads are essentially river valleys. I mean, you drive up Map Hill when the rain is falling, and basically all the water from the surrounding area comes into the road and then runs along the road like it would happen. Now, every other place in the world, when you build a road, along with the road, you actually build a drainage facility so that water does not stay on the road.
But the question that I want to ask here is that, given that Barbados is a water-scarce country, shouldn't we be channeling the water that runs off on the road into some well so it can be recycled in some way?
Yeah, but that's a different problem, because even if it goes in the road, it's going to be recycled. But the problem is that, as Andrew touched, one of the major problems with road damage is water. When water gets under that Barber Green, it is actually going to damage the subsurface, and eventually the barbarine is going to crack up and collapse. I mean, and that's where potholes actually come from. If you can keep the water off the road, you will reduce potholes maybe 60-70%. So that getting water off the road is normally a priority in building roads. Somehow in Barbados, we have evolved to the position where the road is where the water comes. So, I mean, you actually have situations where householders channel their excess water onto the road mm-hmm. as a means of disposal. The standard is that you move water off the road into drainage areas, and as you say, to go into the side and all that. The whole question of standards. Now, that gives me an excuse to move on to the second thing that we are proposing from the AP. Can I go on to that?
Yeah, you go.
Just very briefly, mm-hmm. we are proposing that this National Transportation Infrastructure Authority be constituted by a number of set positions of professional people. So we are talking about representatives from the Ministry of Transport, obviously, representatives, people put on there by BAP, actual engineers who are there to represent engineering, not because they are engineers, but they're there to represent the ethics of engineer from BAP. And if, for example, we are not happy that they, and their work will be peer reviewed, and if we're not happy, we will change them. Mm-hmm. People there to represent auditing, for example, by the Association of Auditors. So we are looking at a national body that represents a professional national body that then oversees the road network and the spending of those funds and all that. That will then be.
But then who would make the decision on which roads should be repaired first?
The management, based on professional international standards. I mean, and that is so. And we actually have the management now who can do it. They have the capability to do that. What they don't have is the oversight that insists that this be done. So that, take for example, you do repairs. Let's say you're a manager doing repairs on the road. And then it is also your job to do the standard checking. Now, if I am the independent person, engineer doing checking to sign off on the road, I may even do some destructive testing to make sure that you met all the standards. But if you did the work yourself, to what level? I mean, this is one of the rhetorical questions that you seem to have a knack for doing on a second. I am the engineer that built the road. I'm also the engineer that's going to inspect the road to make sure it was built properly. Now, how would you be surprised that the roads are river valleys? Would you be surprised that the slipper drains disappear and become wider roads? We need to put systems in place that will make sure that standards are met.
I think what you're really calling for, and I think that if anybody, I think people would read into you basically saying that what we need, this is not only related to the roads. This relates to just about everything
much.
In our society,
you
where you have to, you cannot expect people to police themselves.
Accountability.
There must be a level of accountability.
Professionalism. International standards.
Yeah. And a level of transparency will come on
Thank
there.
Thank you very much.
I see.
So if you start to talk about
so who's the troublesome one, Mr. Brown?
I have a reputation for that.
Well, we'd like to welcome Mr. Vincent Jones. He's the third member of the team. He's a construction project manager. And Mr. Jones was, of course, the one of the main people here on the BAPE jury who came up with a number of the things that we have been talking about here, actually reviewing what was said and looking at ways and means that we can find workable solutions to our road network. And Mr. Jones, good morning.
Hi, good morning.
All right. Now, we have a discussion here going, and I want you to join into it, because that's what you were listening to, everything that was happening before you got here. And the thing about it is what if there is a need now for a greater level of implementation, if there's a need now for accountability, what can BAP do? How are you lobbying? Are you lobbying the government? Are you lobbying the main opposition party? If have you met with the opposition to let them be aware of what you are doing and planning, or what you would like to see done? Anyone?
Well, I guess that would be a question for me as president.
Okay.
And essentially, what you have outlined is the targets that we have set for ourselves. Over the years, BAP, we have had a number of targets, and basically, our primary objective over the years has been to improve the status of the profession of engineering in Barbados. Mm-hmm. I think we have actually done a very good job. When we could have produced people like Tony Gibbs and Andrew Hutchinson, and I mean we are actually quite proud of the products of BAP and engineering in Barbados. Our next goal now, and we took this decision this year, we looked at our constitution and we noticed that the very first objective that we set was to protect the public through ethical engineering. And when we did our town hall and we assessed the problems, we came to the conclusion that you so eloquently articulated for us just now. This problem is much wider than roads. It is wider than sewage. There is a fundamental structural problem in the way we manage our national assets. Now, so we are now, in answer to your question, we have now started the process of addressing people like the opposition parties, the government, the people of Barbados. And what we're doing here now is actually articulating our position. We are interested in feedback. I mean, we may be wrong. We may be completely wrong. I mean, I would be surprised, because when I look at the quality of people in my organization, I must tell you, you can't be but impressed. And when we can sit down, when we sit down and we assess the problem, we almost unanimously have come to the conclusion that we have a structural problem that needs to be addressed. The challenge is to articulate a possible solution and then to sell this option to Barbados. This is something that we can do in Barbados and we can make it work. Now, whenever you try to implement change, there's resistance. People always think that because you did something last year and the year before, you have to do it next year. So there's always a challenge in doing that. So, I mean, we never envisioned that we would walk straight up to the Prime Minister, for example, and talk him into doing this. Or to the opposition leader, or even to Grenville, who was also an engineer from Solutions Barbados, or what his party is called.
Solutions.
Right. But we have started, and it's only a matter of, I mean, we started this process in November last year, and we've actually done quite a lot of work. Mm-hmm. But we are actively in the process of doing exactly what you said, lobbying for Barbados mm-hmm. to address what we see as the fundamental problem, keeping this country from exhibiting the kind of success that we all want.
Okay, let's go back to the phone lines because we have a lot of calls. You're on Brass Axon there. Good morning.
Hello, good morning.
Yes, go right ahead, sir.
Yes, I think that what we got to look at as far as the roads in Barbados are concerned, I think that we got to look at the most contributing factors that is causing the deterioration. I think that it is the lack of maintenance, and also the design. But there are only two. We got to look at, you know what I mean, all of the contributing factors pertaining to the problem. I also think that there should be some enforcement entity as far as the government is concerned. Some entity should be set up to look at the entire management of the roads island-wide. I think that the law enforcement officers obviously would not be so much interested in any misuse of the roads. I know a situation whereby you get construction vehicles that are actually driving those construction vehicles with the metal
tracks,
with those metal wheels,
yeah,
are actually driving on our finished roads, and that shouldn't be. Some of the supervisors, both in MTW and also some of the other departments, I don't think that the supervisors are properly trained as far as the use of the roads. And the roads, you're not only looking at the carriageway, you're looking at the areas that the side of the layway, the maintenance, the overgrown bush is damaging the areas where, you know, people jog.
Yeah,
you got bush, you got trees and everything. One of the best roads that we have done in Barbados within the last 10 years, within the last 10, 15 years, was the road leading between where the new chauffeur is and going down to Old Town. And I see, instead of people weeding that road, I see a bobcat with the bucket down on the bobcat. You know what I mean? Just driving and I'm pushing away the bush from the levee.
Caller.
That should not be.
Caller.
Yeah, that's right.
Can I say? Can I tell you that we agree 100%. You're saying the same things that we're saying. We cannot complain about anything that you said. The lack of maintenance is clearly a problem. The design problems are a problem. We actually touched on that. You actually said that an interesting thing, that there need to be an enforcement entity. We agree. And this is what when we talk in terms of the National Transportation Infrastructure Authority, that is what that is. That is the authority that would then set standards and put things in place to enforce those standards. You notice that we're not talking about the police, we're not talking about NPW, we're talking about a professional body driven by ethics, multidisciplinary, that would then make sure that these things happen. Because what we have found is that anything less than that, you tend to get all sorts of reasons why things never happen. Because you said, interestingly, you said is that we need to look at these things. We have been looking at them for years. What we tried to do in our town hall was to come up with solutions and not doing something about these things. So while we agree with you, what I would like to hear from you now is, how do you think we can put something in place to actually change this in Barbados this year, for example, or within the next year or two?
Well, first thing, you got to set up the entity. I mean, if you don't do
exactly.
that, you're not doing anything at all.
Well, you better come and join BAP, sir.
You should have an annual budget, an annual maintenance budget, you know, should be approved. For the maintenance of roads.
But sir, you're saying the same thing as me. You're just saying it more eloquently.
Specifically for the maintenance of roads.
Exactly. Thank you.
And if you don't have a budget and you don't have that entity enforced,
you're just making sport.
Because, you know, a lot of people can drive on the highway and they see something happening that is damaging the road. They're going to go into work and they're not going to say anything. But if you have some enforcement,
somebody responsible for that,
some person can call that entity and
exactly.
say, "I've just seen something. I think that you all should check it out." I mean, I see concrete trucks disposing of the excess concrete they have, you know, in the gutters and the road blocking the drainage.
Everybody does it, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And when the water cannot flow on the side of the road, and the water now travel on the road itself. That is where the pothole is
going to
start.
Sir, the problem I have with you is that you're saying the same thing that we're saying. You're just saying it nicer.
Yeah, but thank you very much, caller, for your input. Let's go to the next call before we start talking again. You're on Brass Tack Sunday.
Yeah, good morning. Yes, sir, how are you in the panel?
Very good, thank you, sir.
No, I realize that you're all tackling this thing and still tackling it wrong, call. You're still dilly footing. Now, back in the 70s and 80s, when I used to build roads, I want you to listen to me carefully. There was a system where the slipper, which is known as the gutter, we would stop that there about 3.5 inches down, the four. We put on 1-inch stone, and this is where the problem is coming now. When we put on that 1-inch stone, we put it together, not on top, you put it fitting into one another. You roll it, you put on the tar, and you chip it the half inch stone. Then you bring that base course on top of that. The base course now have something to hold on to, and then you put on the finishing. But what is happening nowadays, I realize, is that you're putting the base course on top of marble, on top of the marfil, and then you're putting on the base. And suddenly it's going to be 3 inches. But on top of that, y'all refuse also to say that I was in St. Peter, I was in St. Philip, I was in Christ Church. Even in St. Thomas doing some yards and renovations. And I realize that the barber green that is being supplied to the government when you watch those men throw it off, it's just blackstone. It's not holding together. So if you are getting inferior material from the suppliers, what you expect? When the rainfall, it wash out the next day.
Yeah, but you can hold a second. You can't say that it's inferior material from the suppliers.
But that's what I'm telling
them. No. What I would think may be happening, don't forget, Mr. Brown made the point that there is lease costs involved. So it's not an inferior. Just listen to me, please.
Okay,
it's not a matter of anything else. It's lease costs. So therefore, there is a minimum quality, I guess, you can get. And if you have less resources as you have now, that may be responsible for it. Well, look, we just stay on the line. We'll take a commercial break, and we'll be right back. Stay
I will with be us. Waiting.
Yes.
Now is the time for you to fence your property with galvanized green, white, or brown chain link fencing and our brown band galvanized pole pipes, which are the longest lasting. We will give you a free estimate too on all your fencing materials.
So building supplies, big or small, at Brilliant Metals we have it all. At Brilliant Metals we have it all.
Visit their website at www.williamsmetals.bb.
And welcome back. Are you still there, sir?
So no.
Hello.
Now, I want to give you a typical example. Mm.
Sir.
You know where Newton is in Christchurch?
Yes.
Good. Now, I want to make sure that me and you and the callers and other people is on the same page. There is a road going to Coleridge or going back to St. Patrick where Chaffet is putting down their new building or some driveway or something. You pass there before they put on that Bible Green?
No.
But before they put on that Bible Green, because two of my workmen was with me, I say, no, look at this. This is how we used to build roads years ago. They put down the stone, and a word that they used was tap coat that stone. Then apply half-inch stone, and then they put on their base coat, and then, you know what a person told me? One of my workmen? But them got money. So if we keep on starting everything in this country wrong, what do you all expect?
Mr. Caller?
I listen to the town hall meeting, you know.
Oh, good.
I listen to people from Kong.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah, go ahead.
Do you understand the consequences of, as your workman put it, not having money?
So why, listen to me.
No, but think about, but seriously.
No, I listen to you. I want you to listen to me.
All right, you go ahead.
I'm in the construction industry.
Right.
I work with engineers. Is it the same Mr. Hutchinson that worked on KS House?
Yeah.
Guys, that KS House, you remember that had Dowling, you had a... Remember what? He's passed away now. But you is one of the people that used to got to be specific with. The minimum amount of concrete you should pour on anything is 4 inches, right or wrong?
Right or wrong.
So why were you going to do some, a driveway for somebody and only pour 2 inches?
Yeah.
I did a job for a man the other day, a yard, and two people came and tell him but only a car gun point he could put down 2 inches. I said, from the day I was in 1975, I had a man named Hutchinson. He always said 4 inches is the minimum.
From 1974?
So you see a lot of these drivers with contractors and things mashing it because only point, no, 2 inches point off a man. We're doing everything. I only want you to understand today, sir. We are doing everything in this country wrong. You're either going to do it the right way or forget it. And that is the problem. No quick fix is going to work in this country. I work all over this country.
All right, sir. Look, thank you very much. Thank you very much for your call. The point is, no quick fix is going to work. And then, of course, there's the whole thing of cost. We have Mr. Jones here saying, "Don't look handsome." Mr. Jones, I want you to respond to that.
I think... What is coming through is that there is definitely a need for standards and the controlling and the policing of those standards. Mm-hmm. On paper, obviously, the MTW or whatever iteration it takes on whatever government at the time is there to ensure and police the standards of road construction, road maintenance, etc. If, as Trevor alluded to earlier, they are not being afforded the resources to be able to carry out that job properly, then you're going to get issues. If they don't have the necessary manpower to go out there and make sure when the utilities dig up the road that they do not reinstate it properly, then any and everything is going to be done. If you don't have set standards by which to build your roads by with specific cambers and the necessary slipper drain, as Andrew alluded to earlier, then again, any and everything will be done. I mean, when I worked on the South Coast project, there was a series of inspectors there from the Ministry of Health and the BWA, and they had to sign off on whatever it was that we were doing at the time to make sure that they were built to the standard that the IDB had set out. Similarly, when a utility comes and dig up a road and it has to be reinstated, it should be put back down to a specific standard, not that in 2 weeks' time when the rain falls that it comes out. I mean, case in point is the road going on to Hold Down. A utility would have dug that up, put in some services, and then for almost a year that road was dropping into potholes. It was patched about 3 times. It wasn't done properly. And that's the situation you have. I mean, there need to be standards and any enforcement of standards.
That's right.
Okay, let's go back to the phone lines. We have a full board here. You're on the air. Good morning. Good morning. You're on the air. Please listen to your phone, not to your radio. Good morning. You're on the air.
Hey, good morning, sir. How are you doing?
I am well.
Good. There is a big elephant in the room, and that elephant is the minister who makes all the decisions, who has the first and the last say in everything that is implemented.
When you say the minister, you're talking about the political representative.
The political minister of transport.
Whoever that may be.
Whoever that may be. Right. No, we don't deal with
minority personalities. Right.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Would I mean the you can clearly see that the guys there who were talking that their experience. Now, I have a lot of admiration for Mr. Hutchinson. One of the things he brought up some time ago is the guttering. In the district that I live, we had a road many years ago, not a drop of water on it, not a drop of water. Some work was carried out on it when the Queen was coming about 3 or 4 decades ago. And what happened is that the guys flattened the road. My grandfather was then, he was telling them, look, don't remove all this gus grass from here unnecessary. Don't flatten the road that the water was sick in the center of the road. But he said, look, quick job that we have to carry out. And from that day on, over 30 years now, the place is a flood zone from the time, you know, you get a few drops of water, right? What? And it's just one reinforce. No, the guys have said it over and over again, but just want to reinforce standards. We have to come to a point where standards are maintained. Whether it be ISO standard, whatever standard it is. But if you cannot maintain that, it will be a fruitless exercise. And I like I said, I applaud all your guests, but in particular Mr. Hutchinson, for keep drilling this thing that we need to get. I don't think it's too difficult. I know we have a big network in Barbados, the roads, but I think that if it is done properly, take the highway, for instance, the highway carries some massive trucks on them. And if you drive on a highway, I mean, this is about 30 years or so the highway has been there. And it is still in good condition, but look at how the water runs off on the side. A big problem is the settlement of the water under the road, and we need hit at that hard, and we need to rectify that in our building plans. And I would be willing to get involved with any organization that you fellas have that would try to get over to the government. Look, this is something that you need to take these engineers seriously, because it's all this taxpayers' money that you build a road today, and in 2 years from now, the road breaking up. Right?
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
We appreciate that perspective and that support, sir.
Okay. We take the next call. It is 11:58. You're on the air.
Yes, good morning, Mr. Price, and your guest there. Mr. Price, I want to commend Mr. Hutchinson there for the things he said that are the problems in Barbados. You know, if you want to sabotage the country, those are the things that you sabotage the first. Now, I want to spoke to you regarding some stuff that's going on. The people who are experimenting with South Eden Road. I'd like to know from your panel.
Sorry. I didn't understand you quite clearly. You said people who are experimenting with what?
South Healing Road. In other words, they mix certain things, but if you use asphalt, they mix certain things with asphalt and make them South Healing.
Okay.
I'd like to know if any of your guests are aware of this, and if you can expand on it, or if you can get back to Mr. Price with it, if you don't know at this point in time.
I'm not aware of it.
In terms of the South Healing Roads, actually, Mr. Hutchinson would have touched on crumb rubble aggregate earlier.
Okay.
There is some research primarily being carried out in the United States at the time, where they have looked at the introduction of this crumb rubber as one of the constituents of